FBI, DEA, and Homeland. Operation Permafrost. With the intel you and your team have assembled and the confirmation that all three primary U.S. stations on the continent are used as drop points for drug courier routes, we have an operational plan we're putting in place. You should have already received the encrypted details and overview as of last night.
I did. Made for a very interesting bedtime story. Just to ensure I have the broad strokes, DEA has arranged to have an emergency airdrop delivered to Amundsen Scott early next week. 62nd and 446th Air Wings will send three crates of emergency supplies under the cover story of needed medical items. In these crates will be tracking devices which I'm to conceal with the canisters so we can track where the shipments end up. Similar devices are being transported by icebreaker cargo vessels to McMurdo and Palmer for my special marshals to similarly conceal. Once winter lifts, the excess materials from all three stations are to be sent back to the Office of Polar Projects in New Zealand as excess, non-critical provisions not required. Once in transit, the task force will monitor the shipments, location using a radiometer, from a repositioned satellite. The satellite will detect a specific isotope decay inside the tracking devices, allowing them to follow the shipments on the move. Roughly at the same time, agents from the DEA and FBI will accompany the National Transportation Safety Board as they conduct their investigation of the crash of Flight 0492. The flight I was on, which we highly suspect will also contain concealed shipments of this new drug, DreamWax. They'll secure whatever they find and transport back to the States.
In a nutshell, that's the plan. You clear on everything?
Radioisotope decay concerns me. Are me and my team going to start glowing in the dark?
The devices are shielded. The casing is strong enough to minimize exposure to people and organic materials, but weak enough where the decay is trackable from space. Other than that, you good?
Yes, ma'am. After reviewing the dossier you sent, everything was self-explanatory. I do appreciate you including the replacement and supplementary items I requested and lost in the crash to be included in the airdrop.
Was happy to arrange it, Deputy. Ironically, we got the list from field support around the same time the task force was trying to determine what we could dropship to help justify or validate the backstory. Rather than just putting in weighted sandbags, might as well put in items needed.
That's Diane for you. Impeccable timing, always looking out for the marshal she supports.
I noticed the firearms on that list. I'm assuming you or Marshal Goodwin secured the necessary approvals from the NSF to have those on station?
No, ma'am. I did not. I brought my duty sidearm with me as standard marshal policy. For the others, I have not secured any approvals.
Well, then just do me a favor, Marlo. Keep them locked up and out of sight until you need them. I'm guessing when and if you do need them. The event will justify the action, but it goes without saying.
You'll deny knowing about this. The Marshal Service never authorized it, and it's on me to take whatever fallout there is.
Your personnel file doesn't exaggerate. Fast on the draw and quick to evaluate any situation you get into. Very nice. Discretion is the better part of valor, Deputy. Keep that in mind.
Yes, ma'am. Front and center.
How's the other investigation going? The tampering with the plane and the station?
I've eliminated most of the Wind Rovers and have three primary suspects. One of the station's scientists and two of the contractors. I'm working to find a crack in their alibis and anything I can dig up to solidify a primary suspect. I've also requested enhanced background checks on the three to see if I can pull out anything which may indicate motive or associations that might suggest a motive.
All right. It sounds like you're running all possible leads to the ground. I like that. How are you and Dr. Wainwright getting along?
Contentious. Same as usual. He seems to begrudgingly accept my presence here on the station, but always works to get in a backhanded insult. I strive to remind him that while he may oversee the station, I don't report to him and thus not a subject of his little fiefdom. We tolerate one another is the most apt way to phrase it.
Just please make sure not to overly antagonize him. His direct line into Beauregard Lowing and their knack for escalating to the Attorney General of the DOJ can make Director Marshall Davis get a bit more involved than I'd like.
Understood. I'll dial back the animosity level.
Are you the one stealing the W from his keyboard?
I have no idea what you're speaking of, Marshal.
Uh-huh. Let's remember that we're sworn federal officers, not junior high students.
I always conduct myself as professional, ma'am. All the time.
All right, then. You need anything else from me or from up here?
No, ma'am. I'm all good. I appreciate the call. I'll update on the investigation my weekly reports end of week.
Take care, Deputy.
U.S. Deputy Marshal Bass Marlow, 2022, August 2022, 1300 hours. Amundsen Scott sabotage investigation, LC-130 flight ANG-0492 crash. In the main galley with me is Miss Sandra Dereccia, Emil's steward, and this is interview 3. Miss Dereccia, when we last spoke, we discussed your general observation of the station staff of the few days after this LC-130 transporting myself and several others crashed. Now, as Emil's steward, would you continue to agree that you see most everybody on the station daily?
I do, yes.
Excellent. Do you tend to interact with most people as you conduct your daily routines, or just stick to the basics? Good morning, good evening, what can I get you?
Oh, no. One of the things I love the most about the winter season down here is the coziness and how nobody's in a rush like they are in the summer. I get the opportunity
to sit and chat
with most people. Especially over the winter, we try to interact with one another and keep each other occupied with stories about our day or what's going on back home. It really helps with the morale.
Okay. During the meals being served over the few days to the on-station staff, did you notice anybody who was off or acting peculiar?
During those few days, I think almost everybody was off one way or another. The news of your
planes disappearing was
devastating. Not to inflate your ego, Deputy, but you're very popular around the station. The fact that we had several team members, including you, on that flight, I was impacting almost everyone.
I understand, and it does make sense. Thank you for the compliment, by the way. Was there any one individual that you remember standing out or was acting, well, peculiar?
No. No, I don't remember anything that stands out to me. Most people went one of two pathways. Either they hardly ate, or they would indulge a bit too hard on the snacks and sweets.
All right. How about after that? After it was announced we'd been found, or after we returned to the station?
Well, are we including the puppet that now lives on Lars's hand?
No. Let's take that as a given. That's one off that, yeah.
Well, I guess you could say I didn't see Dr. Wainwright all that affected by your plane crashing. He just seemed his normal self throughout. Oh, you know, actually, now that you mention it, I do remember something
unusual. It was just before your flight off station.
Please do tell.
It was the day before you all left. There was a meeting taking place in the large conference room. It was the PAX flight deck team and operations crew. Ms. Alice got a call just before lunch that they would be running most of the day and longer than expected, and could we cater them a dinner?
Okay, go on.
So, she asked me to help coordinate, take the orders, and make sure we got them all fed at 6 p.m. that evening. There were, eight in the meeting. So, we prepared some pasta and meatballs, salad, and one special dietary order. I made roasted cauliflower salad and a cup of butternut squash soup as a vegan meal. For Marco Green.
Marco Green. That's the technical diagnostic expert. The one who got food poisoning the night before the flight.
Yeah, exactly. I have felt so horrible, Deputy Marshall. We still don't know if it was the chickpeas, the cucumbers, lettuce, or the sauce. Ugh. But after we heard the news from the others, Ms. Alice had us toss all the ingredients and we scrubbed down the work surfaces to ensure no repeat occurrences. She doesn't mess around with a less than sparkling kitchen.
Who said it was food poisoning, out of curiosity? Was it Dr. Ambrose?
No. Honestly, we heard it from several people, not just one.
It's curious. I'll see what Dr. Ambrose can provide to try and clear that one up. You mentioned Lars and Mr. Johnson earlier. How is that going?
How do you mean?
How are people in general reacting to him? Have you seen anything, any behavior or actions that concern you?
You mean, other than a man who hadn't spoken a single word in 5 months is now performing a very well-polished ventriloquist act and suddenly speaking with an American 1940s film noir accent like DeForest Bogart? No, nothing.
Touché, Mr. Etcher, touché.
I mean, he'll come in. Lars gets his meals. He and the puppet mostly keep to themselves.
I caught it leering at me once or twice.
It's kind of a pervy doll. Keeps calling me Toots, baby, and referring to me as a dame. I'm still not sure what he means by horizontal mambo and gams in the air.
Yeah, he goes heavy into the 80-year-old slang. Have you seen him interacting with anybody?
No. He's even more solitary than he was before. Now it's almost like people are going out of their way to avoid him. And not just those who were here last time Franklin was out, but everybody. Oddly, they both seem to like it that way. I did notice Zeke takes extra special care to keep his distance.
Yeah, Zeke has a thing about puppets, I think. Not sure, but yeah, that one I noticed too.
Other than meals, from what I hear, he does his job loading cargo, and then nobody sees him until the following day.
Okay. That should pretty much do it for this interview, Mr. Retcher. I want to thank you again for taking time to chat with me.
No problem, Deputy. Will we be seeing you for dinner tonight?
Oh, without a doubt. See you at 1900. Looking forward to the pork chops.
Recording started.
Dr. Ambrose, working on your short game?
Hello, Deputy Marshal. So, who's trying to murder you this week?
Well, thankfully, Doc, I've managed to go several months now homicide-free. Actually, I was hoping to get some more information from you, if you have a moment.
If I have a moment? Look around you, Deputy. I have nothing but moments. Go ahead and ask your questions. If you don't mind, I'm just going to keep putting to this automatic machine. What would you like to know?
On the day before I left, actually the night, to be more exact, you had a patient come in with a stomach bug.
Yes, indeed I did. Mr. Green, if I recall, from PAC's flight team. That man was a pale blue as the water hazards of Pebble Beach course. You ever been, Deputy?
No, can't say I have. Do you recall what you diagnosed him with?
Well, you already called it, Deputy. It's a simple and common case of viral gastroenteritis. Stomach bug. Technically, I shouldn't be talking about another patient's diagnosis, however, what you're referring to is incredibly routine, and since you're already cleared by the NSF and medical information as long as it's needed for your investigations, stomach bug.
So it wasn't food poisoning?
Get in there! Damn.
Food poisoning? No. Although they can present similarly with the same symptoms, however, food poisoning will almost always include multiple cases of vomiting and diarrhea over 24 to 48 hours and leading to potential dehydration.
A stomach bug typically comes and goes within 12 hours and typically doesn't include multiple instances of vomiting. Nope, Mr. Green had a garden variety case of a stomach bug.
Odd. What can cause that? The stomach bug.
Do me a favor, straighten out that part of the green. Lay your foot there. Thank you. Well, you get food poisoning from the fancy name for it. Food. Undercooked or contaminated meat, fish or veggies. With a stomach bug, it's more viral than bacterial, mostly. Just like the common cold, you get it from somebody you come in contact with who's just getting over it, or objects that they contaminate and then you touch.
Is there anything that can be added to food or drink to mimic those effects of the stomach bug?
Damn it. Turn into a damn shankopotamus down here. I'm sorry, what was your question now?
Stomach bug. Can any food tampering cause a reaction that might mimic a stomach bug?
Well, a couple liquids come to mind. Most average person wouldn't have access to. Syrup of Ipecac, though, on the other hand, would be the easiest to use, obtain, and administer. Found any drugstore shelf. You'd have to dilute it, though, a lot. So the taste wouldn't give it away, but yes.
What would be the side effects of having been given this Ipecac clandestinely?
Assuming they didn't use too much. Vomiting, stomach irritation, dizziness, low blood pressure, shortness of breath, and a rapid heartbeat.
Did Mr. Green have any of those symptoms?
Yes, actually, yes. If I remember correctly, I thought the blood pressure and heart rate were a separate issue. Thinking back now, it might have been possibly induced versus infected, naturally. Deputy, you think his illness was deliberate?
I'm not sure of anything 100% just yet. Just trying to tie loose ends together, make sense of a few abnormalities I can't reconcile with.
Well, if you think it'll help, I'll review my notes this evening just to see if anything else about Mr. Green's case stands out. Now, is there anything else you want to tell me?
Doc, you were supposed to be in here 2 weeks ago for a checkup on your leg and general wellness. Obviously, you're more concerned with ducking me and spending time with that pretty lady friend than keeping yourself healthy. I didn't mean anything personal by it, Doc. Just been running clues to nonsense.
You don't seem to be in a hurry to go anywhere at the moment, right? Catherine?
Yes, Doctor?
Do me a solid here. Take the deputy marshal back to room 2 and start vitals and pre-screen. I'll be in shortly to give you the old once-over and kick the tires.
Doc, I mean, now? I'd be more happy to come back for a scheduled appointment.
Deputy, this way. I highly recommend you stop while you're ahead. I'm out of particular gel right now, and until more is brought in from the Do Not Freeze cargo hut, well, that means we can do this here and now, and you'll get to skip the prostate check this time. Otherwise...
There we go, another hole in one! Oh, speaking of holes in one, well, I guess it's your move again, Deputy.
I still hate you, Doc.
Still music to my ears.
Bass, this is ridiculous, and like I told you before, patient-doctor confidentiality does not change. By law, I must keep everything said, everything brought up in this room between us. You don't have to keep repeating, Mary had a little lamb in your head.
Sorry, Sydney, not sorry. You misled me.
How do you feel I misled you?
I don't like head shrinks getting into my head. Up until recently, that was figuratively. Now, you can literally do it. This isn't supposed to concern me.
What I told you before is still true. I can't read your mind. I can't read anybody's mind. It doesn't work like that. I hear your thoughts. Not all of them, just those that are the strongest on your mind. I've always kind of thought of it like a radio station. I can't pick the programming I want. I'm stuck with whatever's being broadcast at the moment. I can listen, but the request line for specific things, it doesn't work.
Then I hope you like nursery rhymes, because it's Mother Goose Head Radio, commercial and ad-free from here on out.
Would it make you feel any better if I bust out the bourbon again?
What, to loosen me up? No thanks, Sid.
Is there something that happened? Some bad experience with a professional therapist, psychologist?
Direction was just for me to report here 2 times a month, never said anything about talking.
Bass. Okay. Well, talking is kind of the point of all of this. You know, the Don is part of the whole thing. How I can hear thoughts is that it doesn't work back in the world. You sit me down in my office in Brooklyn on East 98th Street, and all I hear is my patients and the traffic. It wasn't until my first session on the ice that this started to happen. You know what it's like for a psychiatrist to think they're starting to lose it themselves? It's not a pretty picture, Bass. Then an observation. You're an investigator in part. You have to sit people down, and through chatting, talking, interviewing, you size them up and their motivations. From what I've read and what we've chatted about, you're damn good at it, too. Would it be going out on a limb that while I've been observing you, you've been doing the same with me? There's nothing wrong with that. It's what we do professionally, you and I. Sometimes it just comes so naturally, doesn't it? We slip into a kind of autopilot mode. Start asking questions, not even of a patient or a suspect in your case. Even just a friend or acquaintance. It's kind of hard to turn off sometimes. So as good as I am, you've been at this just as long as I have, professionally. Well, if you're half as good as I know you are, you'd already built up a read on me. So, you tell me, Bass, has anything I've said, anything of my demeanor, my mannerisms, any of your observations given you reason to believe I'm up to nefarious purposes? How about we take a break from the nursery rhymes, have a quick station identification? Thank you. Mother Goose over and over was starting to give me a migraine. Also, thank you for trusting me.
Oh, I'm not sure I'd go using trust right now, Sid.
Fair enough. Bad choice of words. How about a thank you for the gesture?
So then you can't reach into somebody's head and go rooting around for specifics?
No, not as far as I've experienced yet. Just as I said, it's like a record playing over the PA system. That's it.
And this doesn't concern you?
Oh, it concerns the ever-living shit out of me. Why do I have this thing? Why just here? Why not back in the world? And is this what I'm supposed to do with it?
With everything else down here, I guess hearing thoughts isn't overly high on the weirdo meter.
It's true. Plus, if I can help out the locals here and make their experience in the winter easier to cope with, well, then I'm okay with it.
So then nobody else knows that you can...
No, a small handful. Wainwright, of course, Dr. Ambrose, alt-right Sandra, who I get the oddest sound feedback from her sometimes. The big guy, Lars, too. One or two others who pass through here. You're probably like seventh or... No, wait, ninth. I almost forgot about Franklin. He knows.
Yeah, I forgot about... And he seemed non-phased about it.
Most likely because I can't hear any thoughts of his.
And that's because he's a demon?
Yeah, that would be my guess too. This thing didn't come with an instruction book, but I'm sure it has something to do with the difference in brain physiology or him being a fallen angel.
Hmm. Franklin said something about balances.
What did you say? Franklin said something about balancing?
That everything was a balance, more so here than in most places. That my guilt, it was throwing the balance off.
Look, Bass, I know we just established a happy middle ground here, and I don't want to push too hard, but helping people cope or address things like guilt, it's kind of what I do.
Well, you've probably already heard me think it.
Okay, but in the interest of maintaining that middle ground here, how about you say it aloud and we'll go from there?
And how's that going to help anything?
You would be surprised how body and mind works. Emotions just serve as a middleman. Are you able to say...
Honestly, I'm not sure what happened. On the mountain with Josh Nichols. Can't remember.
You can't remember. If I recall what the others said in their reports, the kid hit you pretty hard over the head with a piece of 2x4.
He did.
And concussions aren't anything to mess with, Bass. They will scramble your signal pretty good.
Sydney, I'm fine.
Spoken in a way that is far from fine, but okay.
All right. I guess we're doing this thing. There were 2 rounds missing from my sidearm, Sid. I nicked the kid intentionally with a round to make a point. I didn't intend to ever kill him, just rattle his cage. I don't remember firing a second round. But everybody else on the mountain heard it. And there were 2 rounds missing when Zeke inspected the handgun, and my mag was too shy.
Why don't we focus on what you do remember versus what you don't?
We had just heard the beacon indicated a plane picked up our distress signal. They were heading in.
Good, go on.
I remember the sharp pain and that queasy feeling in my gut. Everything went cold inside. Inside of me, that is. After that, scattered, just bits and pieces. Even the digital recorder I had on, the file is showing a deletion. Stay with it. After the queasy inside feeling, what do you remember then? Trigger saying Josh had run off. The helicopter was coming. Then I was running, tracking. I'm following him, Josh, through the snow. It's good. Stay with it. Following him. My head is pounding. Yeah. I threw up a can of beans I just had. I get back up. He's talking to somebody.
Who's he talking to? Who else is there?
Nobody. Just him and I. God, it's so hard to recall.
You said your firearm was missing two bullets.
Gunpoint. I had him. He's by this, giant boulder on the mountain. I'm telling him he only has options. No, he only has three options. He's smirking at me. And that's it. And most of that I already remembered.
Most of it.
The beans, puking. Yeah, I didn't remember that before. I only just remember that now.
Bass, I want to see you once a week going forward.
No fucking way. I am not a head case.
No, you're not. Nor was I suggesting it. You're probably the sanest individual on this station at the moment. I'd put money that you may be the sanest person on this continent.
Okay, so then why need to see me every week?
Bass, what Franklin told you before was not an exaggeration. And this is going to be hard to hear, but this place does have a balance to the ice. It always has been. From the days of Shackleton, Scott, Armiston, and those that came so long before them. This place operates on a sense of balance. Something happened to you out there. Something that, it wasn't supposed to have happened. External forces got in the way, and after that interference, that balance has shifted. The outcome of that, whatever it was that happened, it caused this imbalance.
I don't know if I follow you.
Look, there is a sense of contentedness here, but there is also guilt, pride and humility, accomplishment and regret, basic yin and yang comparison. The amount of guilt you have on you about this Josh kid, your boss, others, it wasn't ever supposed to be here at this extreme. Some of that would have been resolved while you were back in the world, but the plane crashed. The guilt, you and the others, had to come back. That was, how can I put this? It was off script, you could say.
Hey, you're speaking in riddles, Sydney. I don't follow.
Well, I'm being very cautious. Remember, when I said anything you say, anything I hear, no matter the means, is confidential.
Yes, and?
Well, let's just say that there is information I am privy to that makes this clearer. But I can't go into the specifics. I won't betray that trust. If I did, how would you ever trust me with what we discuss or what I've heard from you?
You said you can't hear Franklin.
I can't. Never have been.
Then who? Who is the other part of this puzzle?
Her?
Him?
Them? I don't know. Maybe. Jenna doesn't really apply here.
What are you talking about? What are you saying?
Bass, I can hear the ice. Just the same as I can hear you.
This is Brian Bradley. Thank you for listening to our show. We are commercial free and able to do so thanks to our amazing sponsors. You can help support 90 Degrees by visiting our Patreon page. Go to 90degreespodcast.com. That's the number 90 and degrees podcast, all one word, .com. You'll find a direct link to our Patreon page where you can make a monthly pledge and get shirts, buttons, stickers, or even a shout out as an honorary station pulley. Speaking of, we'd like to send a special shout out to the following pulleys: Nick Wolf, Ernest A. Polron, and Padma Numi. thank you for your sponsorship. It helps and supports us in so many ways.
This has been 90 Degrees South. On behalf of the cast and crew, I'd like to thank you for listening. If you liked the episode and are enjoying the series, please remember to give us a like, a share, a tweet, send a raven, or review on iTunes, Audioboom, or your favorite podcast site. It helps us to get the word out and keeps the cold at bay. Until next time.
This has been a BMB production.